Last week we began looking at the sixth commandment, which is Exodus 20, verse 13, "Thou shalt not kill." We emphasized last week that this command requires us to have a respect and an esteem for human life. The Bible teaches that human life is the crown of God's creation. Again, we can look at the stars or the mountains or whatever. Beautiful, beautiful things that God has created. But we are never to lose sight of this fact that human life is the crown of God's creation. It's the only thing made in the likeness and image of God. So this commandment requires us to have a respect toward the life that God has created. It also requires self-preservation. We're to respect our own human life. All life is a gift from God. Again, there are people, sadly, many who profess to be God's people who have such a horrible, horrible attitude and view of life. And that's due to their own lifestyle. But life is a gift from God. All life is a gift from God. We should not complain about old age. Life is a gift from God. Job 33 and verse 4, "The Spirit of God hath made me." We must realize that our own life is from Him, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. Paul declared in Acts 17 and 25, "He giveth to all life and breath and all things." He went on to say in Acts 17, verse 28, "For in Him we live." We live. Remove Him, you're not going to live. In Him we live. In Him we move. In Him we have our being. So our own life, and of course the life of others, our own life is to be viewed as the work of God, as the gift of God. And therefore, it is to be highly valued. Contained in this sixth commandment is the responsibility to safeguard our own life. There is a self-love that is not sinful. There is a self-love that is natural, that is not sinful. There is also a self-love that is natural, that is sinful. But there is a self-love that is not sinful. It is a self-love that causes us to preserve our own life. Matthew 19 and verse 19, Jesus said, "Love thy neighbor as thyself." In other words, he knew that we love ourselves, and I don't believe he's talking about here in a sinful way. We are to love our neighbor as thyself. So we are to love ourselves in the sense that God gave us this life. Again, love as thyself. teaches that there is a self-love that is natural and that is not sinful in and of itself. It is this love that causes us to be concerned and diligent about our own welfare. There's a self-love that tells you when you are hungry, you ought to eat. When you are tired, you ought to rest. That is a self-love, that is self-preservation. And this commandment certainly teaches that there is to be a self-preservation. The sixth commandment requires us to look after our own life with some degree of diligence. Again, you can go too far, as almost in everything. Such requires us to exercise wisdom in the use of food. God has given us food to sustain ourselves. He's also given us a brain, and we are to exercise some thought as to what we put in our bodies. That's self-preservation. You don't on purpose drink Drano so because you know that's going to harm you. So God does give us some wisdom, just naturally, about food, drink, medicine, rest, recreation, all of those things. And we are to be careful in those things because we're to have a respect and esteem for the life that God has given us. It also requires us to furnish our bodies with whatever is necessary to its health and its welfare. Paul taught this. Notice in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 29. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh. It's not natural. But notice what he does. He nourisheth and cherisheth it. And he's drawing an example, of course, between the Lord and the church, even as the Lord, the church. But he teaches us a principle here that we have enough esteem for our own life that we nourish it and that we cherish the life that God has given us. We're to cherish life. It's always a sad thing, even though we know when a child of God leaves this life, he goes on to glory, and that's a wonderful thing. But there's something so precious about life that even when a child of God takes that last breath, you can't help but think. You cherish life. So this commandment requires that we have an esteem and a respect for human life, that we have a respect and esteem for our own life. We'll get on this more at another time, but suicide, of course, is a breaking of this commandment. It's self-murder. But we'll get on that at another time. Also, this commandment requires the preservation of the life of others and the respect for the life that God has given them. Many times, in fact, nowadays, almost all the time, we cannot respect and esteem the life that people live. In fact, the life that people live is downright disgusting. But that being said, we don't wish them dead. We are to still respect life. God's given them life. They're misusing it, no question. But life itself is to be valued. There must be respect and realization of the value not only of our own life, but for the life of others as well. Is my life or is your life more important than someone else's? No, really isn't. We're to value human life. This commandment requires us to protect and to defend the life of others. We're to protect human life. We are to defend the life of others. You see someone who is dying or being killed or whatever, and there's no one there to help them, you have a responsibility to call somebody or whatever, but you have a responsibility. Well, it's not my business. Well, you see, it really is. Because this commandment requires us to have a respect and esteem for human life. In Psalm 82, verses 3 and 4, it says, defend the poor and fatherless. We'll get into this later, not today, but at another time. That may require killing someone, but that's something different. We'll get into all of that. But we have a responsibility to defend the poor and fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and needy, deliver the poor and needy, rid them out of the hand of the wicked. So we are to protect, we are to defend human life. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 11 and verse 12. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth he not know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? We're not to forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death. We are to assist, make them comfortable, whatever. We are to assist them and those that are ready to be slain. So, we are to protect, we are to defend our own life. We are to protect and defend the life of others. We are to provide the necessities of our own life. And if we can, we are to provide the necessities of someone else. And again, that's within the bounds of Scripture. There's a lot to be said about that as well. The parable of the Good Samaritan, Luke chapter 10, verses 29 through 37, teaches us to have a respect unto the life of those you don't even know. You're to have a respect and esteem. So this commandment teaches us to have a respect and esteem for human life. It requires us to protect our own life. It requires us to protect the life of others. But the command is in the negative. And again, if the command is in the positive, the negative, of course, is implied. And if the command is in the negative, then, of course, the positive. But it's in the negative. thou shalt not kill. So that brings us to what is forbidden in this commandment. First of all, there's a lot of people, out of pure ignorance, who make this a blanket statement against all killing. And I suppose if you just read that verse, and that's the only verse you ever read, you could come to that conclusion. But that is not the only verse in the Bible. And it's not the only verse in the Bible about killing. So you have to take the whole to see what this really, truly means. This commandment, again, is not a blanket statement against all killing. Thou shalt not kill. The Hebrew is, thou shalt do no murder. And Christ states it in that way. Notice in Matthew 19, Matthew chapter 19, and verse 18. Again, this is conversation with the rich young ruler. He saith unto him, which, Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. He's repeating the commands. And again, in the Hebrew, that's the way it reads, thou shalt do no murder. Murder is what is condemned. Now, there are people today who are so ignorant that to them, all killing is murder. But again, that's total nonsense. And certainly the Bible would teach against that all killing is murder. Thou shalt do no murder. Then he goes on and he mentions the seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. And then, of course, goes on to mention the others. But due to ignorance and blatant disregard of Scripture, the sixth commandment has been greatly perverted, and the result has led to serious errors. The result has led to many terrible anti-biblical philosophies. But by reading other portions of Scripture, again, it becomes very apparent this is not a blanket commandment against all killing. And it is a delusion to look upon the sixth commandment as forbidding all killing. So consider what killing is not prohibited here. This is not a prohibition against the killing of animals. Having said that, I will say I don't believe that it is right to just kill an animal for the sake of killing it. I don't believe that's why the Lord put animals here for you and I, just to kill them for the sake of killing. But this is not a prohibition against all killing of animals. You have people on the left who believe that it is a greater crime to kill an animal than it is a human being. I mean, these are twisted people. These are deranged people, and I'm being kind. But some have taken the sixth commandment to the saying, to the extent of saying that it's wrong to take the life of animals. But the words, thou shalt not kill, obviously does not refer to the taking of animal life for food and clothing. I mean, that's obvious from Scripture. And if you notice, some of these who are against killing animals, they have leather shoes, leather purses, leather jackets. Well, where do they think that leather came from? From creation. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 29. And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree, and that which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed to you, it shall be for meat," for food. The trees, the plants, shall be for meat. Verse 30, "And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so." Now, that, of course, implies, it more than implies it, but that it is the sixth commandment does not forbid the killing of an animal for food, nor does it forbid the killing of a plant for food. And from the fact that God clothed Adam and Eve in Genesis 3 and verse 21 with skins, again, it is also obvious that "thou shalt not kill" does not refer, does not prohibit the killing of animals for food, for clothing. And it is also obvious from what God told Noah, Genesis chapter 9, verse 3, "Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, shall be food for you, even as the green herb." So it's animals, plants, "have I given you all things." And again, all of this is under the dominion of man. Animals do not have more rights than people. I mean, that's absurd. And yet there's people that believe that. Again, these are twisted minds. It's almost unbelievable that someone can even think in that direction. God has given man dominion over animals. That means if man wants to build a housing complex or a building, the animals might have to move. The animals might have to be killed. God's given us that dominion. "Oh, we can't build there. There's a tadpole." That's utter foolishness. "We can't build a hospital there because there's a tadpole or fish or a frog." We have dominion. We have dominion. We have authority. We have God-given authority to build, and perhaps the frogs are killed. Or you have the God dominion authority if you want to take the time to pick up the frog and move it somewhere else. But it's not wrong to kill animals for the advancement of mankind, whether it be food, clothing, building, whatever. It is also obvious from Christ's two miraculous feedings of the multitudes, in which he used fish. Notice in Luke 24 and verse 41, he asked the question, "Have ye here any meat?" Now, I don't have a problem. Doesn't bother me any. If a person wants to be a vegetarian, that doesn't offend me one iota. Don't try to defend it by the Bible. Because you can't. Now, when you go down that road, now I'm going to have a problem. But Jesus said, have you here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. They killed that fish. They broiled that fish. And Jesus ate that fish. 1 Peter 5, or 1 Timothy 4 and verse 4, Paul said, for every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Now, I have no desire to eat a possum. None whatsoever. If you invite me over to dinner to your house and you're having possum, I will eat it. But I have no desire to eat it. Now, if you tell me that you're having possum, I'll probably find an excuse not to be there. But I have no desire to eat possum. But again, nothing is to be refused. But it's to be received with thanksgiving. God gave it. And if you get hungry enough, you will eat possum. You'll eat a rat. You'll eat it, whatever. So, there are many things that thou shalt not kill does not prohibit. And we'll continue on that next week. It does not prohibit capital punishment. And we'll get into that next week as well. You have these, again, loons that, well, to get capital punishment, that's just, we're just doing the same thing they did. No, no. Now, that's totally ignorant. But again, the command obvious from Scripture, thou shalt not kill, does not include capital punishment. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you for all the ways that you provide for your creation. Just a marvel, and we thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you again for the commands that you've given us and how they protect our life and enrich our lives. And we just pray that you'd help us to have a respect for and a reverence for your commands. Lord, we just pray that you'd meet with us today in a special way, that you'd help us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.